Yes, Mataji, thank you for recording. Hare Krishna, Kamalotan Prabhu, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your association. I will hand over this call to you. Please, Prabhu, take.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtikim. Omagyatminandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksharonmiletam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaiham Zati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurav Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Maishtamam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shisha Kanvitam Sya Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Vamini Kinamini Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshatarine Namaum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Nitiramine Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitai Kripabdhe Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Naine Pravave Namaha Adhuryojjana Premadhyaya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Adambujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Achidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhumestam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnavasara Bhaumashri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahamadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishai Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Chetam Surator Pangur Mamanda Materigati Matsarvasva Padam Bhojo Radha Madana Mohano Divya Drundaranya Kripadrumadha Srimad Pratnagara Simhasanastho Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Krishpralivis Devyamano Smarami Sriman Rasarasarambhi Amshivata Tatastitaha Parshanvenu Svanir Gopir Gopinathaha Shriyastunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Haripati Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Today is a very auspicious day, that is the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. And we celebrate the appearance of Srila Prabhupada as Vyas Puja. Now let us see what is the meaning of the word Vyasa Puja. Generally, the word Vyasa Puja, we think that is worshipping Vyasa. Or sometimes even we think that worshipping our spiritual master is actually Vyasa Puja. Srila Vishwanathacharya Thakur in the Guru Ashtaka clearly says, in the last line of the Guru Ashtaka, Vyayanstvanstasya yashastisandhyam Vande Guru Shri Charnaravindam. So I want to, Dhyayam means meditate, Stuvan means glorify, Dhyayam Stuvan Stasya Yashaha. Yashaha means his glories, spiritual master glories. I will do it three sandhyam, three times every day. Now anyhow, we are worshipping Guru three times every day, morning, afternoon and evening. And ISKCON devotees especially, they worship the spiritual master morning in the Guru Ashtaka prayers, 4:30. Again, Guru Vandana at 7:30 after Darshanarthi. Then, if they are doing worship of the Lord every day, three times, and also singing the glories at 4:30 and 7:30 in the morning every day, and then what is the speciality of Vyasa Puja then? So, if you think Vyasa Puja is worshipping spiritual master, which actually comes once a year, it is a wrong understanding. Vyasa Puja doesn't actually mean worshipping the Guru. The indication of Vyasa Puja comes in the first words of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first words of Bhagavatam, Janmadhyasthitonmayadipratasthartheshabhigneswarat Tene brahmarudayadikavaye muhyantiyatsuraya Tejovarimudanyatavinamayatitasargumbrasha Dhamnas Satyam Param Dhimahi. So in this verse, Vyasa, he writes, Satyam Param Dhimahi. Satyam Param Dhimahi. The essence of Vyasa Puja is there in this word Dhimahi. What is the meaning of the word Dhimahi? Vyasa doesn't say that I meditate on the Supreme Lord. By using this word Dhimahi, he says, let us all meditate on Krishna, who is absolute truth, Satyam Param, and who is having the secondary characteristics of the absolute truth, that is a Tatastha Lakshana of Janmadhyasthitah, who is the source of everything, and he is Swarat, he is Abhigya, and also Tene Brahmadaya Adikavaye, one who gave knowledge to Brahma, knowledge of all the Vedas to Brahma. In this way, he says that let us all meditate on Krishna. And that is Vyasa Puja. Vyasa meditating on Krishna together with all those people who are studying Bhagavatam. So that is a special compassion of Vyasa. Vyasa, while writing Bhagavatam, he did not say, I meditate on Lord Krishna. He actually took all the devotees into the fold who are all studying Bhagavatam. Whoever was studying Bhagavatam, they join Vyasa. By the mercy of Vyasa, he actually collects all of them. He joins all of us in meditating on the Supreme Lord. So this is called Vyasa Puja, the day on which our spiritual master worships his spiritual master. And not only his spiritual master, the entire Guru Parampara, and also he worshipped the Supreme Lord. What is this? My spiritual master is worshipping the Supreme Lord, the Parampara and his spiritual master every day. But today especially, what the spiritual master does is, on the day of his appearance, he worships his Guru, the Guru Parampara, whole Sampradayaka Acharyas, and Krishna, along with his disciples. That means, in other words, today, Srila Prabhupada today is connecting all of us. Whoever is connected to him, he is connecting every one of us to his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and all the Sampradayika Acharyas and Krishna. So he is actually worshipping and offering all of us to the Sampradayika Acharyas. So this is the day he worships Krishna in taking all of us into his fold. That is why this day is called Vyasa Puja. not because we glorify our guru. Who are we to glorify guru? Guru's glories are unlimited, and nobody can claim that I have reached the end of the glories of my spiritual master. Spiritual master's glories are actually more exalted than the glories of Krishna, because Krishna, he has a tendency, if somebody rejects him, Krishna also rejects him, say, go to the material world. But in spiritual master's dictionary, there is no question of any rejection. He never rejects anyone. That is why one of the acharyas in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Kuresh, he tells, if I have been given an option to chant the name of Narayana, which has got four syllables, Narayana, and another option is to chant the name of Ramanuja, it has also got four syllables, Ramanuja is spiritual master. He says, I'll chant the name of Ramanuja. Why? Because if I chant the name of Narayana, and he has a tendency to see my doshas, my faults, and like he has rejected all the living entities and put them in this material world, because in his dictionary of Narayana, there is a word called rejection. But in the dictionary of Ramanuja, whose name is also having the four syllables, there is no question of any rejection, because he has come to the place where there are people who are rejected by Krishna. And he has specifically come to deliver those people who are rejected by Krishna. So there is no question of Acharya rejecting his disciple. That is why if I worship Narayana, there is a problem. He may reject me again if there is some mistake. But my spiritual master, he is a board of compassion, that there is no question of rejecting. Very interestingly, Prabhupada. Even Prabhupada, this word, also has got four syllables. So, if you are given an option to glorify Krishna and Prabhupada, you choose to glorify Prabhupada, because his compassion is more. He has come to the place to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls who are rejected by Krishna. So there is no question of a spiritual master rejecting us. So that is a special glory of spiritual master. As much as the glory of Krishna is unlimited, nobody can say, oh, I have glorified Krishna, I have touched the end of the glories of Krishna. Even Krishna's own form, Ananta, himself cannot glorify even one quality of Krishna, even after glorifying for Ananta Kala, for time immemorial. Still, he is not able to touch the glories of Krishna. Need the end of the glories of Krishna of one quality, what to speak of other unlimited qualities. In the same way, nobody can glorify Srila Prabhupada's qualities. Whatever glorification you found by Srila Prabhupada, by his disciples, are only glories of Prabhupada to the extent of their realization. They are actually not the glories of Prabhupada. Glory of Prabhupada is like the sky. No bird can claim that I touched the sky. Some birds, they fly at a height of, say, 100 feet. Some birds fly at a height of 200 feet, 300 feet. Some birds will fly at a height of 1,000 feet. But no bird can claim, I have touched the sky. Sky is unlimited. In the same way, everybody glorifies Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, according to their realization. But nobody can say, this is the limit of the glories of Srila Prabhupada. When we say, Jai Srila Prabhupada, we think, by our glorification, Prabhupada is glorified. By I saying Jai, Prabhupada becomes glorious. No. By I saying Jai Shri Prabhupada, Jai means conquer. Jaya. So what are you doing? You are conquering ignorance within the heart. So by glorifying Prabhupada, actually we are not glorifying Prabhupada. What are we doing? By saying Jai Manam Chapashti, by going on chanting Jai Shri Prabhupada, Jai Shri Prabhupada, Krishna becomes very happy. Oh, he is trying to glorify my devotee. He is saying Jai, Jai to my devotee. So he, within the heart of a devotee, he removes the ignorance. Because Krishna becomes very pleased, seeing a devotee glorifying his pure devotee. So when pure devotees are glorified, Krishna becomes pleased. And he removes the ignorance within the heart. So that is why we glorify Srila Prabhupada. So glorification of Srila Prabhupada is for our purification. And our glorification of Prabhupada is actually not the glorification of Prabhupada. It is only just in trying to glorify Prabhupada. His glories are unlimited. His compassion is unlimited. Actually, glory of the person, there may be many glories of the person. He may be very rich, very intelligent, maybe very strong, very powerful, very influential, very learned. All these things may be there. But if all the qualities are there, if there is no compassion, what is the use of other qualities? A very rich man, no compassion, what is the use? Very strong man, no compassion, what is the use? Very influential person, no compassion, what is the use? So it is the compassion which actually brings meaning to other qualities. So even the Lord, Supreme Lord, has his compassion, but his compassion is conditional. Because he has rejected us. The very fact that we are in this material world is that we are all rejected by Krishna. So because we are rejected by Krishna, then his compassion, though it is there, it is conditional, because there is one word in the dictionary of Krishna, rejection. But in the heart of the spiritual master, there is no question of any rejection. That is why in the Guru Ashtaka, we glorify Srila Prabhupada. Kalyana guna aranavasya, praptasya kalyana guna aranavasya. He is the ocean of kalyana guna. What is that kalyana guna? What is that auspicious quality? This auspicious quality is his compassion. Just imagine Srila Prabhupada's compassion, which is manifested by giving up the Vrindavan Dham and going all the way to America, that too to Brauri, and place where nobody knows what actually Krishna is. He had nobody, just to deliver the fallen conditioned souls on the order of the spiritual master. He went to the most degraded nation, in that too the most degraded city, New York, in that too the most degraded place called Brauri. And there, he actually caught hold of those people who were rejected by the society. Already it is a degraded society. And just imagine, those people who are rejected by the degraded society, the hippies, how degraded they must be. And he caught hold of them and transformed their life, and they made into acharyas. So this kind of compassion the world has never seen. The world has never seen. Actually, all the scriptures, it is Bhavishya Puran, Bhagavatam, predicts the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's appearance is predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam. Very interestingly, there is a verse which is spoken by Narada Vyasa. Tadva visarga janataga viplava yasmin pratishla kamavadya badyati namani rupani ashankitanyat pranvanti gayanti grananti sadhva. This verse in the first canto of chapter of Bhagavatam, it actually predicts the appearance of ISKCON, predicts the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. And just imagine, Bhagavatam, which is the essence of all the scriptures, is talking about Srila Prabhupada's appearance. How can you understand this thing? If you carefully open the purport and then see, you will understand Srila Prabhupada actually explains it. Explains this appearance, his appearance, and ISKCON movement, and he's writing, translating Bhagavatam, he's predicted in this particular verse by Narada when he's speaking to Vyasa. Narada told Vyasa to write Bhagavatam. And he told, you write Bhagavatam, which should be how it should create a revolution. Tadva visargaha janataga viplava. Viplava means revolution. So, creating a revolution where? In the hearts of the sinful life of the people. People are so sinful. And Bhagavatam is such a thing that it creates a revolution in the sinful life of the people. Now, Bhagavatam was written 5,000 years back by Vyasa. Now, we have never seen sinful people reading Bhagavatam. We have never seen for the past 5,000 years that sinful people have read Bhagavatam. And then there was a revolution in their sinful life. Great scholars, panditas, Brahmins, they used to read Bhagavatam, relish Bhagavatam, speak Bhagavatam, that's all. But never it has been seen that maybe one or two may have given up sin after studying Bhagavatam. but wholesale, revolutionary. Revolution is not by one, two people. Thousands and lakhs of people joining in studying Bhagavatam and giving up sin. Not as people studying Bhagavatam. Lakhs and lakhs of people, millions of people. What kind of people? Sinful people studying Bhagavatam and then giving up sin. What kind of sin? Cow eating cow meat. And now no onion garlic. Drinking alcohol, taking LSD. Now they don't even take tea and coffee. So this is called revolution. Not that, you know, some small sins were done and they gave up. No, no, no. Now, revolution means completely a change in the entire lifestyle. Eating cow meat is the most heinous sin. Now, not even eating onion garlic. Not with one person or two persons. Thousands of people. This is called revolution. When did it happen? Bhagavatam says, by studying Bhagavatam, there will be a revolution in the sinful life of the people. It did not happen for 5,000 years. It happened only after Srila Prabhupada came. That means Bhagavatam predicts the appearance of Srila Prabhupada, where he is going to establish ISKCON, where thousands of people are going to change their life by studying Bhagavatam. This is why Prabhupada approached America. At that time, he did not have Bhagavad Gita in his hand. He had only Bhagavatam in his hand. Bhagavad Gita translated later and never published. But he had so much of faith in the Bhagavatam that he actually wrote in his prayers the most important 5 verses in the Bhagavatam, which talks about the entire Vidya, the process of Krishna consciousness. Srinvatam, Sukata Krishna, Punya Shroni Kirtana, Vidantastvaya Bhadrana, Vidunoti Sudhasatam. His prayers, starting with his verse, Nashta Praya, Shabhadre, Shuttyam Bhagavat Sevya. These beautiful 5 verses, Srila Prabhupada quotes and then describes his faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. That how this is going to transform the lives of the people. And it has never happened before. So Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 1st canto, 5th chapter, Narada, relates the appearance of Prabhupada. Or you may say it is only by chance it is there. Go to the next line. That is, Dvavisargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlokam Avadhavadyati. Srila Prabhupada's first language or mother tongue is not English. He translated, he is a Bengali. Prabhupada is a Bengali. And he translated from Sanskrit to English. English is not his first language. So he admits in the purport that in my translations, there may be so many mistakes. So many grammatical mistakes. That is what Bhagavatam says. In spite of so many grammatical mistakes in describing Bhagavatam, still, what happens? Shrunvanti gayanti grinanti sadavaha. Sadavaha, great intelligent people, they accept it. Srila Prabhupada very humbly says, though our Bhagavatam may not be really translated properly from the literary and grammatical point of view, but very elite people in the society, they are taking this Bhagavatam and appreciating it. So Srila Prabhupada relates this verse to the appearance of the Bhagavatam which he has written, and the commentaries which he has given, and also at the appearance of his son. So, Bhagavatam itself predicts the appearance of Srila Prabhupada, and also Bhavishya Puran predicts the appearance of Prabhupada. Not only that, one of the great acharyas in the Shivaisya Sampradaya, as Malwa, he says that I am able to see that devotees are spread around the world. They have raised their hands and chanting and dancing and singing the names of God. And they have got their Urdha Pundra, Tilak. And by the dust of their lotus feet, the entire world is purified. This verse was spoken by Namalwar at the beginning of the age of Kali, 43rd, maybe just after the 43rd day of the age of Kali. 5,000 years back, Namalwar predicts appearance of Bhagavatam. Not only that, in the Bhavishya Purana, it is said that one saffron-clad man will come from India and teach the Vedas in the language of the Malechas. So, language of the Malechas is English. Bhavishya Purana actually describes English language as the language of the Malechas. Absolute truth will be described in the Malaycha language. Who did it? It is predicted in the Bhavishya Puran. So the glories of Prabhupada are unlimited. We just cannot estimate. The compassion of Prabhupada cannot be estimated. The very fact that we are able to chant our rounds, we are able to discuss Bhagavatam, this whole opportunity, this whole wonderful opportunity, if at all there is any credit to them, it is not because of us. It is only to Srila Prabhupada. So we should express our gratitude, not just tell thank you Prabhupada. We should express our gratitude, indebtedness. And we just cannot repay the indebtedness. If at all we can do something, it is only try to repay the indebtedness of Prabhupada by somehow or other strongly preaching his message, taking his mission onto our heart, and somehow or other become his warriors and go ahead and preach Krishna consciousness wherever we are, whichever position we are in our life, dedicate our life to the preaching mission of Prabhupada. So I was to speak till 5:20, that is Indian Standard Time. So it's already 5:21 here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Lalitangi Mataji, are you there?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Please connect Mataji, Shivanand Prabhuji.
Oh, Shivanand Prabhuji?
Yes, yes. Please.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Hit the call. I try to hit the call. Maybe Lalitangi Mataji can.
No, Mataji. Lalitangi Mataji will do that, Mataji. Okay?
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, okay. She used to. Yeah. Okay, so by the time, if anybody has questions
I have one question. Which was you mentioning, Prabhu, that in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's experience was predicted with verses?
Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 5. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. It's very nice to hear early morning about Srila Prabhupada, and I really like the point, and this never happened, this thing seems to be amazing. And then also, I can feel that this Bhagavatam, we don't have that regulated life, but we are reading Bhagavatam every day. That is a great thing. Everybody have a chance to read Bhagavatam because of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for talking all the things.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, August Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, and it's like a completely different view of Vyasa Puja. Why do we have to do Vyasa Puja every year for Srila Prabhupada? And also, you know, because of the compassion of Srila Prabhupada, we are here discussing about Bhagavatam and discussing about Krishna Katha every day. It's happened only because of Srila Prabhupada and his mercy. Thank you so much.
There online. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Shivanand Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances.
Please accept my obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada. All glories to your spiritual master.
Prabhuji, we want to hear about you had association with Srila Prabhupada and how you went to Germany and established temple there, and how, what are your experiences when you were with Srila Prabhupada. So please share.
Okay. And Maharaj has finished speaking?
He already gave the discourse about we have
okay.
to do, right? We have to do the puja.
Okay. Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure he was finished speaking. I didn't want to interrupt him.
Yes, Prabhupada.
Okay, so when I first met Srila Prabhupada, it was in Montreal in 1968, I think. And then by arrangement with Srila Prabhupada together, I went to Europe to start things in Europe. And then I originally was going to London, and then I went to Germany. And then we went, first of all, to Berlin, and then we went to Hamburg. And then we started a little center in Hamburg. And Srila Prabhupada was going to be coming to visit in England because John Lennon had opened up his estate to the devotees and Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, they didn't have a center there yet, so Srila Prabhupada came to Germany first, to Hamburg, and then he went to England to John Lennon's estate and spoke with the Beatles and did all a whole bunch of wonderful preaching. And so when Srila Prabhupada came to Hamburg, there weren't very many devotees there, so I was chosen to take Srila Prabhupada on his morning walk every day and to cook his lunch for him and to give him massage every day. So that was quite an experience. Had a whole bunch of different experiences on morning walks and different experiences. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes come in the kitchen and teach me to cook certain things and give me instructions about things. And then also when Srila Prabhupada was getting massage, sometimes he would give me different instructions. So I can praise Srila Prabhupada because of his extreme Krishna consciousness. He was just completely Krishna conscious. He was always thinking of Krishna. He was always absorbed in Krishna. You know, it's just like in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter, Krishna mentions to Arjuna that if you, what you should do is you should always remember me and become dedicated to me. And then if you can't do that, you can engage in the regular principles of devotional service. And then if you can't do that, you can work for me. And so Srila Prabhupada was on the topmost platform. He was always thinking of Krishna. He was always getting instructions from Krishna. So that's, you know, that's very a wonderful association, a wonderful personality who is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And completely absorbed in remembering Krishna. And so this was what Srila Prabhupada's position was. So this is the kind of association that's, you know, really, really nice. And although not everybody was able to get Srila Prabhupada's association by by direct association, everyone can get Prabhupada's association by associating with his books, associating with his teachings, associating with devotees also. So although most of you may not have ever met Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was, of course, a real person, and he was a very very Krishna-conscious person and a very engaging and very friendly and very nice person. And I was experiencing some of that. Of course, sometimes if you made a mistake, then Srila Prabhupada would sometimes be very fiery. So one time I made a mistake in serving Srila Prabhupada, and I'll tell you about that incident. So Srila Prabhupada had one day given me some letters to mail in the mailbox, and the mailbox was by the post office some distance away. So Prabhupada, he had, you know, seen on the mailbox what time the mail goes out from the mailbox. So he gave me the letters to post right away. And so then I took the letters with me, and I went back to the temple after serving Srila Prabhupada that day, probably in the afternoon sometime, and then I gave the letters to somebody else to mail, and they gave them to somebody else to mail, and they eventually got to the mailbox. That was okay. But I think Srila Prabhupada was expecting that I was going to bring the letters to the mailbox right away, you know, first thing. So later, the next day, when we were having took a morning walk, sometimes when I took a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, I was alone with Srila Prabhupada, and sometimes I was, there were devotees coming to visit and go with Srila Prabhupada in the morning walk. And so there were many different interesting incidents that took place those times too. So, but anyway, on this particular morning walk, I was alone with Srila Prabhupada. So we came back in to the foyer of the building where Srila Prabhupada was staying, and we were waiting for the elevator to come, because Prabhupada was staying up on the 15th, I think it was the 15th floor. And so then Srila Prabhupada found out that what I had done, in other words, that I hadn't brought the letters to the mailbox myself right away, first thing, and I had given them to somebody else, and they got to... So anyway, Srila Prabhupada found out about this, and he was upset with me. And he turned to me while we were standing by the elevator, waiting for the elevator, and he said, "You are irresponsible." And I thought, oh my God. Prabhupada was angry with me. He was upset with me. So I didn't say anything. I didn't feel it was my position to say anything to Srila Prabhupada. And very often when Srila Prabhupada wanted to chastise somebody, if you said something, you got it even worse. So yes, I was irresponsible, and I should have taken the letters to the mailbox right away. And so I just took it, and it's kind of like I kind of felt like I was standing next to a dragon, and he was breathing fire on me. So, but anyway, whatever it was, I just took and I resolved within myself. Okay, listen, I've got to become more responsible and serving Srila Prabhupada. I've got to get it together here. So that sometimes Srila Prabhupada was like that. And if you made a mistake, if you did something that wasn't incorrect, then Srila Prabhupada let you know about it. But it's just like with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When they were cleansing the Gundicha temple, if somebody was making a mistake, Lord Chaitanya would correct them without bearing them any ill will. So when Srila Prabhupada chastised somebody, he didn't have any real anger towards them. He just wanted to correct them. So he was correcting me, and I took that that fire from Srila Prabhupada, and I resolved within myself that okay, I got to get it together. I've got to get myself together. I've got to become more responsible in that way. So, but also Srila Prabhupada was very kind and very sweet sometimes. I remember one time when I was massaging Srila Prabhupada's feet. Srila Prabhupada would usually take his massage before lunch. So I was in the kitchen preparing lunch and getting everything ready to offer to Srila Prabhupada's deities. Prabhupada had deities with him, and he kept them in a little closet in his room. And then I would come in, and I would offer the boga to his deities, and then he would then take prasadam. And one time when... So anyway, that's what I was starting on one story, and I was going to go off on another, but I'll finish that one story. This was when I was giving Srila Prabhupada massage. So Prabhupada was taking his massage before his lunch, and so I was... When you gave massage to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada would sit down on the floor, and then you would first massage his head, and then you'd come down and you massage his neck, and then his shoulders, and his back, and his arms, and you go down, and then his legs, and then his feet. And, of course, being able to massage Srila Prabhupada's feet was a very nice experience. So one time I was massaging Srila Prabhupada's feet, and when Prabhupada took massage, he would also expect you to pop his toes. You know, you'd take his toes and you would pull them and make them pop. And then I was making Srila Prabhupada's toes pop. And so I was massaging then on the bottom of Srila Prabhupada's feet, and it was just a very nice experience. It was just very nice. And so I just kept massaging his feet, and I couldn't stop. And then Prabhupada said, okay, that's all right. Meaning that was sufficient massage at the time. And so, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop massaging Srila Prabhupada's feet. It was such a wonderful, nice experience. So I just kept massaging. And then finally Prabhupada said, okay, that's good. Thank you. That's enough. So I got a chance to massage Srila Prabhupada's feet. And I'm telling you, it was very nice. It was very wonderful. It was very, very wonderful, wonderful experience. And to this day, I still remember that. So that was one time. It was very nice. And my wife is also here, Madan Mahan Mohini, and she's also going to tell us some stories about Srila Prabhupada. And she just mentioned to me, I have a story about massaging Srila Prabhupada. So I'm going to hand it over to her and let her speak also. Here she is.
Hare Krishna, all glories to Prabhupada. When my husband was speaking about massaging Srila Prabhupada, we were in Germany. We were visiting from Berlin to the Schloss. Schloss was the castle that we had outside of Frankfurt. And Prabhupada's servant, was it Nittai?
No, it was Satru.
No, but the one who was sick that was supposed to massage Prabhupada. Anyway, Prabhupada's servant, I think he had been quarantined, and he was not there, and they needed somebody to massage Prabhupada at night. So how did you get chosen? Did they somebody just suggested that you... Anyway, I don't know the detail, but my husband was the one that was going to massage Prabhupada in the evening. So I thought, well, I'm going to wait up. I was in the women's ashram. I thought, I'm going to wait up and see, what happened. So I had some massage Prabhupada, and afterwards, I remember he came to the door of the women's ashram. So I said, when I first saw my husband, I said, give me your hands. And I put, I took his hands, my husband's hands, and I smelled them. And the fragrance from Prabhupada's body was on Prabhupada's hands. And the fragrance was...
On
your hands, yeah. I don't know. I'm half asleep, so whatever I say, I hope it comes out right. Anyway, so my husband massaged Prabhupada, and so I was smelling my husband's hands, and the fragrance was amazing. And he hadn't used any oil, because Prabhupada didn't use oil at night. And the fragrance was otherworldly. It was just incredible, the fragrance from Prabhupada's body. And then I took my husband's hands and put them on my head, and, like that. So that was such an incredible experience. So, my husband has a lot more stories than I do, but maybe I'll relate a few, and then I'll give the phone back to him. I didn't have the association that my husband had with Prabhupada. Mine was a little more, it was indirect. But I remember when we had gone to Paris, this was in 1972, and Prabhupada was there. It was a very small house. That was the year that I was initiated, and that time when Prabhupada initiated, we had the ceremony in the one of the gardens there in Paris, and then we got our names the next day. So Prabhupada was very kind, and he explained my whole name, what it meant, and afterwards, I didn't remember what my name was. It's different names you've never heard of. But there was a kirtan. Prabhupada was leading a kirtan from the Vyasa San, and I was somewhere, in the group of devotees, but I'm very short, so I can't really see much. But I was playing kartals, and I consider myself very expert at playing kartals, and they were pretty they were big, not whompers or anything, but they were big, and I was playing, and I could, you know, one, two, sizzle, one, two, three, you know, sizzle, I could play very nicely. I was very proud of myself. And all of a sudden, the ocean of devotees kind of parted, and there was Prabhupada. I could see Prabhupada sitting at the Vyasasana. He was leading the kirtan, and he was playing the kartals. And when Prabhupada, you know, when you pick your thumb up, when you let the kartal sizzle, Prabhupada did this little thumb exercise. And so I was watching this. And Prabhupada's kirtan got faster and faster, and Prabhupada's thumb would go faster and faster. And he didn't miss a beat. He, you know, so expertly he was playing those kartals. And, you know, Krishna allowed me to see all this, just a few brief moments. But it really smashed my pride because Prabhupada was so expert and I felt so stupid thinking I was so expert at playing kartals. So Krishna allowed me to see that I was, you know, I didn't know how to do anything. So let me see what else. Well, I was present when the deities were installed in Amsterdam and also in Paris. Those things you can read about. I mean, those two experiences, specifically those two experiences with the deities, really impressed upon me something to this day that I always, you know, remember. These are, you know, instructions by Prabhupada's example that I took within my heart about deity worship, that, you know, the deities should always be very nicely taken care of, and they should always be taken care of. We shouldn't neglect. We should be very careful in taking care of the deities. So that was, oh, yeah, in Amsterdam, Prabhupada was there. We went, so I was initiated in Paris in 72. Then we right after that, we went to Amsterdam, and because Prabhupada had gone there. And, one morning, we were only there for a few days, and it was just a little, I don't even know if you call it a storefront. I think it was like a converted garage or something. It had a few rooms, tiny rooms around, a very tiny kitchen. There was a little small office. There was an area they had kind of marked off where there were some sinks, and they kind of made an area where they put a wall around where you could shower and use the bathroom. And it was just really one room they had, you know, made a lot, most of it was one room they had made off, you know, divided into other rooms. Then there was another room, there was the temple room, of course, very small, and there was another room where God's sister, Mike Kishori, and her two children lived, where they stayed. So we had gotten a call one time, one morning from Prabhupada's servant saying that Prabhupada was going to come for breakfast. So, you know, we didn't know anything about anything. And I remember everybody was trying to clean the place up. You know, dishes were piled and everything, because it was all one room, you know, and there were so many devotees from Amsterdam, Germany. And so we thought, well, where is Prabhupada going to take prasadam? So there was just that one room that Kishori lived in with her children. And they were quite young. They were quite young. One was just five, and the little girl was, she was just maybe a toddler. So anyway, the brahmacharis, they took boxes. they took boxes, and they went in her room. It's not like they packed things nicely. They just took everything and just threw it into the boxes. And then they took the boxes around the corner where there was a van, and they put everything in there. So here was an empty room for Prabhupada. So now what? And Kishori's children had, you know, as children do when they get crayons, they crayon on the walls here and there. And we couldn't get it off the walls, and Prabhupada was coming soon. So I remember they took some pictures of Krishna, and we just kind of put them wherever wherever the crayon marks were on the wall. Oh, my gosh. Not artistic at all and looks so strange. And then thinking, well, oh, my gosh, what's Prabhupada going to eat? We didn't have an asan. We didn't have place. We didn't have anything. We didn't know anything. So everybody's wondering, you know, what are we going to do for it? Where's Prabhupada going to sit on? So they made an announcement that, you know, Prabhupada needs something, he needs an asan. So could everybody please give their sleeping bags? Oh, how disgusting. So, of course, we all gave her sleeping bags, you know, and we piled them up one on top of another, and they put some cloth over it or something. So that was Prabhupada's asana. I don't know what they used for a table, and I remember they didn't have, there were no bowls, plates, cups, spoons, nothing for Prabhupada. So I remember Sarabi, my god sister from Australia, she gave her bowls and plates, you know, spoon for Prabhupada to eat from. So, okay, so Prabhupada came and he took darshan. And when he walked in, you know, he was, we threw flower petals and rose petals. It was so sweet. And then when Prabhupada went into the room to take his breakfast, I thought, you know, I have got to see Prabhupada's reaction. You know, what's he going to think walking to a room with pictures kind of here and there? And, you know, here's an asana with sleeping bags, made of just sleeping bags. I looked in the keyhole, and there I saw Prabhupada sitting very elegantly on that asana of sleeping bags. Oh, my gosh. And just as if he were sitting on a gold throne, Prabhupada was so detached, and he was so regal. There was just everything, you know, about Prabhupada was so wonderful, you know. And, I mean, it was very embarrassing for us, and at the same time very blissful. Here we could just do, you know, if somebody said jump 100 feet, we'd jump 100 feet for Prabhupada. We would do anything. You didn't think of, oh, this is not good. What could we, you know, I can't do this. I can't do, we just whatever for Prabhupada. So he sat in his asana of sleeping bags. I'm actually looking at things because I had written some things down because I'm not very awake this morning. And let's see. Oh, yes, I used to make garlands for Prabhupada, and I used to put them on him. That first time I had, when we went to see Prabhupada in Paris in 72, and Himavati gave me a garland. She said, here, put this on Prabhupada. And I was, like, so nervous. But it was such a sweet experience. And so anytime we saw Prabhupada, I was making garlands, and I would put them on Prabhupada. And whatever fragrant flowers we could get. And this time when we were in Paris, actually it was in 73 for the installation at Radha Paris Ishwara, I was determined to make a specific garland for Prabhupada. And, of course, there were fragrant flowers. But where to get them, you know, and everybody in France, they were speaking, you know, not English at that time. So one of my god sisters and I were going from store to store trying to find flowers, and finally found, I made this beautiful garland for Prabhupada, and it was for his afternoon garland. Prabhupada would also get a garland in the afternoon after he took a little rest. So I don't know if I wrapped it. I did something, and I kind of sprinkled it with water to keep it a little wet because we didn't, you know, we had to keep it in the van because, you know, we didn't have refrigeration or anything. And it wasn't our temple. So, and it was very hot. It was very, very hot. And so the devotee, one of the brahmacharis, came in the afternoon to get Prabhupada's garland. And I, you know, I tried drying it off as best as I could. So then I said, please dry it off. Because, you know, he was in a hurry. Give me the garland. I've got to go. I said, please dry it off more. So I heard later that, you know, he offered the garland to Prabhupada, but he really didn't dry it off. So the garland went on Prabhupada, then Prabhupada took it off and said, here, you take it. I was devastated, but nonetheless, you know, it was a wonderful service. So, okay, back to Germany. This was, again, in the Schloss. This must have been, yeah, in 74 when Prabhupada came. Yeah. They had some beautiful gardens there. Beautiful gardens, wild roses and fragrant, beautiful flowers, different colors. And so I made these, I think I made about 4 garlands for Prabhupada. And actually, Prabhupada, at that time, Prabhupada said, you know, when you're picking flowers, don't pick all the flowers, leave some for beauty. So I always remember that, although it's difficult sometimes to do. You want to pick all the flowers. But so I made some beautiful garlands, and this was the day that Prabhupada was leaving. So at that time, we didn't have a car. There were some guests, I think, that had come, and my husband and I jumped in the car, and I had the garlands. And Prabhupada, we had a whole procession. When Prabhupada came, the procession came to the Schloss, and when Prabhupada left the procession, of course, Prabhupada was in the first car. Well, it so happened that we were in the last car. And I'm in anxiety because I'm thinking, you know, Prabhupada has to have these garlands. You know, I've got to get these garlands to Prabhupada, but we're way in the back. You know, and so when Prabhupada would stop his car at the airport, he would get out and walk, and then that would be it. I wouldn't even, you know, get there in time to offer the garlands. So I remember the person who was driving our car, I said, just, you know, cut in front of the other car. So he did that. And while we did that, I was holding up the garlands, pointing to them as if, like, you know, these are for Prabhupada. I've got to get them to Prabhupada. So we tried to cut in front of other cars, but of course nobody wanted to be last. Everybody wanted to be first. So they cut in front of us. So all the way to the airport, it was, we're cutting in front of them, they're cutting in front of us. So finally we get there, and I don't even know if the door's open. My husband and I flew out, and I didn't even think we were wearing shoes. We just, you know, because we had jumped in the car, then we jumped out of the car at the airport. And in those days, all they had was a chain to go across. You know, they would look at your ID or whatever, and then they'd, you know, you just walk through, not like today. So, and then when they were finished, they would put the chain across so nobody else could go through. So, you know, we're running, and we have the garlands, and so right when we got there, Prabhupada had already walked with a few devotees to a special VIP bus to take him directly to the plane, because they didn't have the, you know, the setup that they do now. You had to, in those days, you had to walk to the plane. So instead, they got this little bus for Prabhupada, and they're sitting on there. And I'm thinking, Prabhupada has to have these garlands. Prabhupada has to have these garlands. And we're running, running, running. And right as we get to the airport, you know, officials, you know, when they're supposed to look at your ID, they took the chain and closed the area, the aisle, where you were allowed to go through. And I'm just like, I burst into tears. I just burst into tears because Prabhupada was on the VIP bus, and here I am behind the chain. So my husband grabbed the garlands, ran under the chain, ducked under the chain, ran, and everybody, you know, the airport officials just kind of like dumbfounded, like, what's going on? You know, they didn't stop or anything. So my husband went on to the bus, or was going to get on the bus, and they didn't want to let him on. And Prabhupada said, no, that is all right. And then he was offered those garlands. My husband offered the garlands and then came back off the plane. So I felt Prabhupada really, he knew my heart and how much I wanted to have him, you know, give those garlands to him. So somehow Krishna arranged that, you know, the timing was just, you know, was just perfect. And I was able to, you know, see that my garlands were actually offered. There's one other story. Oh, yeah. There are little things here and there. Prabhupada also said when we were in Germany, he was asking, you know, what are the devotees eating? Was in the Kadashi. Prabhupada was pleased, and then he said, but you must have peanuts and raisins on a Kadashi. Then those days, that's what, we didn't have all these other things that, you know, we do now. It was just, you know, simple prasadam and peanuts and raisins. That was our, those were our meals for Kadashi. Excuse me. I'm looking at my notes here. Okay, when we had left, we left Germany, and we went to Boston. We lived in the Boston Temple, and they, when Prabhupada came in, 75, 76, to New York for the first Rath Yatra, the temple president sent us to New York to see Prabhupada. And my son, Shyamakunda, was not quite a year old at that time. So anyway, Prabhupada had, you know, this is New York Temple, 55th Street. I mean, oh, so many devotees. Huge temple room was just packed with devotees from everywhere. So at that time, Prabhupada was, after Guru Puja, he would give cookies to everybody. So my son was in my arms. I turned him around so he would face Prabhupada. And I was holding him, like, with my left arm against me. And I went up to Prabhupada to get my cookie. I got my cookie. And then Shyamakunda was just staring at Prabhupada and staring at Prabhupada and staring at Prabhupada. And he didn't take the cookie Prabhupada was giving him. I didn't know what to do. I was like kind of flustered. So I kind of backed off a little bit, but I was still facing Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada, without, Prabhupada didn't move much. He only moved, like, his, you know, his hand, what he was doing. He, you know, it's like me, I'm very animated. I'm all over the place. But Prabhupada would just sit very calmly and peacefully. So just with the one motion of his, you know, his hand, he motioned for me to come back to him. So I did. I walked up, and then Shyamakunda was still just staring at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada took the cookie, and he shoved it into Shyamakunda's hand. Shyamakunda was still, he didn't even look at the cookie. He was still, you know, staring at Prabhupada. And he just, and you know, as children do, they just take things and immediately put it in the mouth. So that's what he did. And when he did that, everyone went, Jai Prabhupada. And I just remember kind of like floating away. I was so happy. I mean, you know, it's even nicer when your children get special mercy. You know, it's even more wonderful. So that was a very special, that was a very special memory. So let me just look and see if there was anything specific. Yeah, actually, the last time I offered Prabhupada a garland, that was in 74. We went to Stockholm to see Prabhupada in the summer. Was it 74, 73, 74? And we were coming from Berlin. And in Berlin, I would go to the flower market. We didn't have deities, but I would go to the flower market, you know, for art, and I would make vases and decorate. And I would always ask for donations of flowers. So every time I went, I would ask this one lady, and nobody spoke English, so I did have to learn some German. But she grew her own roses, and she had small, you know, miniature roses. And I said to her, can you save some roses for my Geistig Meister, that means spiritual master, that he's coming, you know, to Sweden. We're going to see him, and can you save flowers for this week? I'll pick them up. So she said, sure. So I, that time I went to get the flowers, and I don't know if any of you have seen these huge, long flower boxes that they ship flowers in. She had one of those, and it was full of roses. Full of roses, had kind of broken off. And she gave them to me at that time in 9 marks. It was just a few dollars. It was thousands and thousands of dollars worth of flowers, fragrant roses that she had given me. I mean, I just can't imagine the benefit she made from that. So anyway, we drove up to Sweden, and we had to, in a van, and I was, again, it was hot. And I was trying to keep the roses in good condition, so I was sprinkling water on them. And we had a little, a ferry boat? We put the van, we drove onto a ferry boat, and that took us across to Sweden. And so anyway, we were there, and I was making, by that time, a lot of the roses became petals. I was making all these petal garlands for Prabhupada. And I was offering them to Prabhupada. And then one morning, we were there just for a few days, but one morning I had the garland, and I was thinking, you know, it's not so appropriate. I'm, you know, a female, it's, you know, it's my spiritual master. I shouldn't, it really, maybe it's not so appropriate that I put garlands on Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada was singing Jai Radha Madhava, and I'm looking around to the, you know, some of the men and trying to get their attention by holding up Prabhupada's garland. But nobody caught on, and at the end, you know, Prabhupada had to have his garland. So I thought, okay, I'm going to put Prabhupada's garland on. And that was the last time that I garlanded Prabhupada. I think after, you know, we had seen him in New York for that Rath Yatra in 76, and that was the last time I saw Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was always so gracious and grateful and humble and just so kind, just so, so kind. I just always, you know, related to Prabhupada as if I were, you know, his daughter. He was my father. You know, his kindness, his, let me see if I can say this word, magnanimity, So that's how I, you know, how I perceived Prabhupada, and I always felt very sheltered and cared for. And it was nothing like being in Prabhupada's presence. There was nothing like it. Prabhupada's kirtans, and Prabhupada would just move one finger and we'd fly into the air. I mean, Prabhupada was the perfect maestro, you know, orchestrating the whole movement and the whole world and helping us in our Krishna consciousness. So it was always an incredible, incredible experience being with Prabhupada. So I don't have much time. It's already 8:30, but I'm going to put my husband back on the phone, and he's got a lot more stories.
Well, I don't know how much time you all have. Should I tell some more stories, or shall we? I mean, it's already 8:30.
Yes, Prabhuji, you're telling stories that are beyond time and space. We are getting to feel like as if we were with Prabhupada, so please go ahead, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay, I'll tell you a story about Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk. This was very instructive to me about Srila Prabhupada's nature and Prabhupada's energy. He was very energetic. So at that time I wasn't getting very much sleep, so when on this particular morning walk I was a little tired. So I think Prabhupada could sense that, and we were walking through a park where there was a nice little lake, and we were walking by the side, and then Prabhupada said, okay, let's sit down. So he was, you know, he was more feeling that maybe I was a little fatigued. So we sat down on the park bench, and I just leaned up against the back of the bench, and boy, it was really nice to sit down. I thought, oh boy. So I leaned up against the park bench, and I was laying, and then I was, you know, like kind of falling all over the park bench there. And then I got the sense of looking at Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the park bench, and he was just sitting on the edge of the bench, and his back was not even on the backrest of the bench, and he was sitting there kind of like bolt upright, and oh my God, here I am slouched and fallen all over this park bench, and my spiritual master is sitting there, and he's not even touching, he doesn't even have his back against the backrest of the bench, and he's not, he's just, you know, sitting with his back very straight. So, oh my God, I can't sit like this. So I pulled myself together, and then I got sitting up straight, just like Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada looked over, and he nodded. Yeah, okay. He approved of that I did that. And then off we went again on the morning walk, continuing on. And the next day, when some devotees from somewhere else came, some other place in Europe, they came to visit with Srila Prabhupada in Hamburg, and they all went on the morning walk. And I had the opportunity to speak to them, and I said, this is what happened on the morning walk. I was slouched all over the back of the backrest of the thing, and then Prabhupada was sitting up, bolt upright straight, and I told all the devotees the story. And so the next day, when we went for a walk, there were a number of park benches in a row. And then Prabhupada was going on the walk, and there must have been about 10 or 12 devotees, maybe that many. And because I told the devotees, they had that in mind. And so then Prabhupada sat on the furthest bench, and he also sat, you know, bolt upright with his back straight, not even touching the back. And because I told the devotees the story, but what had happened to me, then every single devotee was sitting in a line over two or three park benches, and they all were sitting up straight with their backs against, away from the backrest, and they were sitting like Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada looked, and he saw all the devotees sitting like that, and he
he nodded approval. And then he said, yeah, okay, let's go. And then we all went on the morning walk further. So that was interesting. Because Srila Prabhupada would go for a morning walk, but he wasn't tired. He had a lot of energy. And very often when Srila Prabhupada would go for morning walks with the devotees, sometimes the devotees had a hard time keeping up with him, because Prabhupada would move right along. So anyway, that was very interesting, nice thing. So I think I better stop there. And what's that?
You have so many other stories.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of stories, but not everybody has time. It's a weekday, you know. They got to go work, you know. Oh, I also, my wife just handed me, one time Srila Prabhupada, I was going for a morning walk with him, and the moon was out. And he said to me that you should learn to follow Ekadasi by looking at the moon. In other words, you should learn the phases of, because Ekadasi, we celebrate Ekadasi on the observe, celebrate, whatever it is. We follow Ekadasi 11 days after the full moon and 11 days after the new moon. So Srila Prabhupada, at that particular time when we were looking at the moon, he said, yeah, you should learn when to follow Ekadasi by looking at the moon. So I still do that. I mean, of course, we have calendars now, so that's not a problem. But I always keep my eye on the moon and see when it's an Ekadasi moon and like that. Okay, I'm going to stop there, and you can call me again sometime if you want to hear about some more stories of Srila Prabhupada. Very often when I give class on the telephone, after I give the Bhagavatam class, then the devotees ask me to, tell us a story about Srila Prabhupada. So I usually do, and I hope I didn't repeat some stories that somebody's already heard. Okay, I'm going to stop there, and then next time also you can ask my wife if she has some more stories too, and we'll continue on serving Srila Prabhupada and remembering Srila Prabhupada and praising Srila Prabhupada, and in that way remember Srila Prabhupada. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji. We can't, just the word thank you is not enough for all the nectar that you both shared. Mataji was reminding you about one more story. I don't know if you have it wrong. Some of us are not going to work. And this will be recorded and will be sent to other people also who can't stay on the line. So if you have time and if you want to share that another pastime.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I think Prabhuji has dropped the phone. I heard.
Oh, not...
Yeah, you please check, Mataji.
Prabhuji, are you there?
No.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. We were talking about Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
We just had this course from...
Yeah. I, if it is allowed... I would like to say a couple of things which we heard from Radha Govind Maharaj about Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, yes, Prabhuji, please. Go ahead. Thank you.
Something very amazing, couple of things. There are unlimited things devotees experience in personal association with Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Radha Govind Maharaj is making an observation which is so far out, it makes you cry. You know, in that Bhagavad Gatha on Govardhan Puja, in the last day, in the last day, he describes that when Indra...
Prabhuji, sorry Indra, to interrupt. Prabhuji is on the call again.
Okay.
Okay.
Prabhu, if you can...
Okay, all right. I was taking a walk with Srila Prabhupada, and the moon was visible. And so Srila Prabhupada looked at the moon, and he told me, you should learn how to observe Ekadasi and when to observe Ekadasi by looking at the moon and see the phase of the moon, and then but you will know when the Ekadasi is. Of course, we have calendars now that tell us when the Ekadasi is. But so I remember that, and I when it's Ekadasi, I look at the moon, and I remember that Srila Prabhupada gave that instruction that we can learn to on the when the day to follow Ekadasi is by looking at the phase of the moon. So he instructed me about in that way. Okay, that was the little story. All right. I think I'll stop there, and you can call me up again another time. And
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. That was okay. Very nice to hear from you. So I some devotee may want to ask you questions. So
okay.
Can you wait for some few minutes?
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Anybody wants to ask questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Mataji was reminding you in between about another pastime. I don't know if you have time to share that.
Which one was... I'm not sure which one that was. My wife?
Yeah, you mentioned to her that it was quite long and you were not sure whether we had time, but if you have time and you can share that.
I'm not sure which one that was. Yeah, she said it was a long story.
Yeah, yes.
Well, I'll tell you one longer story. One time when we were in Hamburg with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada wanted to go on the U-Bahn to Landungsbrücke. What's that?
Know what the U-Bahn is.
Oh yeah, I'll tell him. The U-Bahn means the underground, underground train. And from where we lived near the temple, you would take get on the S-Bahn, and then it would go to become U-Bahn, and then you could go down to the Far Harbor. Hamburg is famous for having a harbor. And there are many boats and ships and things like that. I believe that that Hamburg is the only deep water port that Germany has, and they dredge it, and so that the big ocean liners and big ships can come in. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to go to the harbor to visit. And so we, on the morning walk, we all got on the train and we all went to Landungsbrücke. Landungsbrücke means in German the walkway that you walk up if you're going to get on a ship. And there's a picture in the Prabhupada Lilamrita of Srila Prabhupada walking up the stairs of the Jaladuta. So that's what's in German. That's a Landungsbrücke. And so we went to Landungsbrücke, and we all got out, and then we were walking along, and they have a place where you can walk along And then you can see the ships, and you can see the ships loading and unloading, and all these different things you can see. So we were walking along on this particular place, Landungsbrücke, along on the walking place, and there was a big ocean liner coming in and being hauled in by a tugboat. Now, when a big ocean liner comes in to a harbor, they have to wait at the beginning, and then the tugboats will come out, and then they'll pull them in. They have to turn off their engines. So this is what happened in this particular situation, that the little tugboat was pulling the big ocean liner into its berth, where it was going to be, and then unload and do all the things that it was going to do in Hamburg. So Srila Prabhupada saw this, and he said, "Aha, this is just like us." He said, "You see, the big ocean liner, it's got a big engine, it's got big propellers, it's got all this paraphernalia, but now it's turned its engines off, and the little tugboat, oh, and tugboats are powerful too, they have big engines, but the little tugboat is pulling the ocean liner." He said, "This is like us also." He said, "Well, if we turn off our Krishna conscious engines, then Maya will come and it will drag us away, just like the tugboat is dragging the ocean liner." So Prabhupada was giving instruction this way. He was seeing this particular as an example of that we have to be Krishna conscious, and we have to have our Krishna conscious engines going. Otherwise, the little tugboat, Maya, will pull us away. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada was seeing a particular situation, and he was applying it in a Krishna conscious way. So in that way, Prabhupada was always giving very nice instructions to all the devotees on morning walks and things like that. And there are other examples in other morning walks when Srila Prabhupada would see something and he would relate it to a very Krishna conscious situation. And that way he was seeing how things were going on. Okay. So that's another little pastime.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. It was,
okay.
Very, very wonderful. Shyamagauri,
yeah.
Would you like to take over?
All right. Well, I'll hang up here. And
thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your time. I know you are so busy doing lots of
things. Well, last night I got to bed at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the morning. I was supposed to wake the deities at the temple, and I set my alarm, and either I forgot to turn on the alarm, or the alarm went off, and I turned it off, and then I was at 5:30 by the time I woke up, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I completely blew it." And of course, Ram Vigraha and the other pujaris were also there, so that was not a problem. But oh boy, Hare Krishna. The next day after Janmashtami is a little bit difficult, because, you know, I was up and on.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Okay, so I'm sorry I'm not so completely together this morning, because it was a little bit difficult. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Maharaj, are you there?
Hare Krishna,
very wonderful, very good
day for all of us. Is it okay I share something?
Yes, Maharaj.
So, in the last day of this Bhagavatam Katha on Govardhan Puja, Maharaj was relating that Indra came 5,000 years ago, because he was impressed, he came to his senses that he has offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But his offense, you know, brought all the Brajavasis together, so he didn't get much chastisement. Well, that was another part. So Maharaj was relating that we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam
that all the regions of the heaven, all the different planets, they showered flowers. And if you read the last section of that Govardhan Puja, that the rivers started flowing very wonderfully, the flowers and the in the farms, all the vegetation, everything, which is very unusual, you know. But the impact of Lord Krishna's abhishek brings all these amazing, amazing things. So, but one might wonder, well, that was 5,000 years ago, who knows about it, you know. One may wonder what is the proof that this really happened, as we read in Bhagavatam. Because we have to just take the message of Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, but if somebody doesn't want to take it, then one will say, well, these are the stories and very exaggerated things about Krishna, because they don't accept Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so what to do? Then he said, Maharaj said that 500 years ago, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, 500 years ago, then he made the, when he was passing through Jharkhand forest and different places, he would attract the animals of completely opposite nature, you know. It means very, very, very inimical to each other. The tiger and the deer, the peacock and the snake, you know. He united them in such an amazing spirit by his chanting the holy name, that they started embracing each other, which is very, very amazing. And then Maharaj related, well, this could also be 500 years ago. If this really happened, how we know? This is still a far distant place. But then he related about our Srila Prabhupada. He said, we have seen with our own eyes, you know, that Srila Prabhupada united people from all over the world, American, Russians, British, German, black and white, small and big, they are very much by the they are very much inimical or very much opposite to their ends in their liking, in their culture, in everything. So it's very difficult to bring them together. But Srila Prabhupada, through this Hare Krishna explosion, he brought the people on the same platform, made them hold hands with each other. Can we imagine? Otherwise, people like from Russia, from America, from Germany, Britain, and all this contrast which we see, Srila Prabhupada, the Maharaj was relating, Srila Radha Guru Maharaj, that we have seen with our own eyes, and now we are seeing the impact Srila Prabhupada brought in the lives of those who come across his teachings. I very much love the previous speakers. He said that Srila Prabhupada's books and the message, the wave had already started, and it has transformed the lives of millions, and how much this wave effect will continue and continue, you know. It may not appear as some like big pump, like sometimes big impact we see in some event, but the impact of Srila Prabhupada's effect will be like the heartbeats. You know, in heartbeats, how the blood flows? The blood flows like a swirling, you know, whirling. W-H-I-R-L-I-N-G, whirling. So this is how the blood flows in the whole body. It is not like big pump, because there are millions of miles of so many veins all around the body. So one may wonder, it may require a big pump, but we don't have a big pump in the heart. So the heart beats. What it does, the blood goes into swirling, whirling. And so this is in the same impact how Srila Prabhupada's teachings through his followers and followers' followers it will be impacting. Once one is caught into this transcendental trap of Krishna consciousness and Srila Prabhupada's books, especially because Srila Prabhupada materialized that vision which we can perceive today, that for 10,000 years at least, this transformation and this whirling effect of this heartbeat of Krishna consciousness. So our society would be going on. So this is a very wonderful Maharaj was relating. One small, how Srila Prabhupada appreciated those who surrendered their lives to him. Very, very amazing. And he was very much protective of his disciples. If somebody criticized them, so Srila Prabhupada was having some session of classes every morning after Mangala Arati in some open space, maybe somewhere in India before the temple was built. Maybe Radha Damodar temple, I don't know for sure the location, but it was open space. And there would be some people would also come and sit, and then one person, he told Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you are speaking in English, but most of your, all your disciples are just sleeping during the class." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, really, all of them?" And then the person said, "Oh, most of them." And then he said, "All the time they are sleeping?" And then he said, "Yeah, almost. Then Srila Prabhupada said, "But you are listening every day, correct?" And the person said, "Yes, I am listening to your class." Then Srila Prabhupada told him, "What are you doing for me?" And the person remained very silent. And then Srila Prabhupada said, "Something they are listening, what I am speaking. And even by listening something in your estimation, they have surrendered their lives to me. And you are listening the whole thing, what are you doing for me?" And so the next day, the person didn't show up. So this is how devotees, like 16 hours devotees would dedicate without getting paid. My spiritual master once asked one of his god brothers, say, "How Srila Prabhupada was able to accomplish all these amazing things in such a short time?" So when devotee Sannyasi Maharaj, he said to my spiritual master, he said, "But Maharaj, you have to understand, we work for Srila Prabhupada 16 hours a day without getting paid. The spirit was so wholesome. Like devotees and the children, they would get up calling, 'Jai Srila Prabhupada.' You know, Srila Prabhupada was, the impact was so strong. We can just get some waves, indirect waves from when we hear from these devotees who are now numbered, you know. So whenever they speak something, we can imagine their direct impact, even small things in relation to Srila Prabhupada, they have such a strong impact on them, and we feel the waves." Hare Krishna.
So much, Maharaj, it's very true, you know, because of Srila Prabhupada, everything. We are able to do bhakti in Krishna consciousness, because of, only because of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Babaji. Maharaj. Anybody else has any question or comment?
No, Mataji. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for sharing. Very wonderful realization. It's very nice.
Can I end here? No?
Yeah, so last point I forgot. So when Prabhupada said, then what will happen if they hear my whole instructions? By hearing little, they have surrendered their lives to me. And what will happen if they hear just like you? So that was how Srila Prabhupada so much felt grateful. As much as we want to feel eternally grateful to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was amazingly, genuinely, very great inner sentiments. He felt the gratefulness to his disciples and followers. It was not like one-sided, I am just giver. He so much appreciated the fulfillment of his special master's order and the desire of all the predecessors. Srila Prabhupada was very much aware of it. There was no question of any like arrogance or something that Srila Prabhupada ever made. I feel that he's imposing his position on anyone. Still, he played his role as he was acting as like a supreme authority, you know. So we realize how the impact of an empowered personality does on the people coming from completely out of a different culture, and how much it transformed their lives. One observer said that it never happened after the... we can say it never happened in the human history, Prabhupada was relating. That's true. Because, but in the modern history also, nothing happened after Roman Empire. But in Roman Empire or in Muslim Empire, the people, like Jesus spoke to his own people. Muhammad spoke to his own people, own his tribes and different things. So it wasn't that difficult. But Srila Prabhupada had the audience who were completely unknown, completely foreign, and just try to assimilate this point. Srila Prabhupada spoke to the utter foreigners, no cultural background, no connection to what Krishna consciousness is, and it is like the most unexpected things to transform in the lives of cultural difference from eating to wearing and talking, sitting, everything. So this is like Hindi mein kaha tha na, kichad se kamal ugana. So what has transpired to the instrumentation of Srila Prabhupada? That he accomplished, which is so mind-boggling. So we can hardly reach the limit to his glories and appreciation. So many thoughts come and they skip the mind, but they keep coming again and again. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes, Maharaj, very true. All Srila Prabhupada disciples are really amazing. You know, they do so many services and they have given their lives to Srila Prabhupada, you know.
Nothing is for them, it's everything for Srila Prabhupada. Whatever they think for Srila Prabhupada and Krishna conscious movement.
They are our inspiration because their transformation is much, much, much more than ours.
Yeah.
Because it's a total transformation in their lives, you know. They have adopted not only the culture, but their food, thought, and they just marvel inside out adoption. It's naturally they have created the provided the platform for all of us. You know, it was available in India, but we were not ready for it. So they are our natural teachers and inspiration. We can always feel so much indebted to their taking our Srila Prabhupada's teachings so seriously. Srila Prabhupada didn't come to give them some thinking good and high philosophy and everything. Srila Prabhupada completely make possible a transformation in their life, in their thoughts, in their speech, in their actions. To change the action is very difficult, you know. We can read books and philosophy and, you know, many very powerful personalities came from India and they impacted people through their teachings and very mind-boggling things. But Srila Prabhupada's impact was that he transformed the lives. And for generations to come, he has created this possibility for the transformation of many generations to come. And that is what will stand out more and more as the time goes, you know. And others, those who created some spur for some time, they will be forgotten. But the impact of Srila Prabhupada's vision, it will just expand more and more and more. And whosoever becomes part of it, he will be able to be part of that ever-expanding mission. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for your realization. Hare Krishna. If no one has any question or comments, we can end now. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Motivation on the key.